Hallelujah. All right, praise the Lord. Normally he has me come up here and minister, and I don't even have one note. Sometime I'll have a verse or two, knowing where to start. Today I got more stuff than I can carry here. So. Was that a good conference or what? And we're going to talk about some of the things that the Lord said during the conference that I think are really important. Well, several things that I noticed about this one that was really unique. For years and years, and when I say years, I mean like a decade, you know, it seemed like really at the conference, the teaching that would go forward during the conference would, for us, drop down quite a few levels. And it was like, this is what is happening when you're praying in tongues, and this is what meditation of the word is, and it went on like that for a long time, and I'm sure that was the mind of the Lord as he was maturing the people. But see, even though it is true that Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, I'd like to give you meat, but I can't. I have to give you milk because you're babies. It's also true over in Hebrews, he said, it's time enough for the milk. You need some strong meat. So I think what's happening based on what I saw, I mean, we had some people get filled with the Holy Ghost during the conference, so you know they're pretty new to these things, you know. But what he's doing is like, okay, the time is short. We're coming into these things, revival that we've been looking for all these years. And ready or not, here comes the meat. Yeah, I remember a prophecy he gave quite a few years ago. He said that in the last days he would be birthing birthing spiritual babies with teeth, able quickly to digest the meat of the word. Then, as I would watch all of the different speakers as they would minister, none of us got together and spoke. I didn't, you know, Mark, Alan, Jim, Bronk, Dave, none. We didn't get together ahead of time and orchestrate or choreograph what was going to be said. And I'm in awe watching how one mind spoke through all those different voices. I mean, Bronx and Jim Martin's was almost like part one and then part two of the same message. It was just incredible to me. What I'm actually talking about today is really waiting upon God. Because a biggest part of waiting upon God is finding out his plan for your life. I mean, isn't that what this is all about? I'm reminded of Saul, who I think was a very smart guy, who became the Apostle Paul. The first two questions, when the Lord appeared to him and the shining light and the sound knocked him down to the ground, he had two really good questions. Who are you, Lord? In other words, I don't know who you are, but whoever you are, you are Lord from here on. And of course, he said, I'm Jesus. And then the second question is, Lord, what would you have me do? See, and that's part of the crucified life. That's not all of it, but it's the beginning of the crucified life. When he's that same man that got knocked off, you know, to the ground that day, he's the one that wrote later in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth within me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What's he mean by that? Saul's life as he knew it was over. He didn't go around anymore persecuting the church. Whatever aspirations he had to rise through the ranks of religion and become a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin, whatever it was he was aspiring to, that ended that day when he met Jesus. From now on, Lord, what would you have me do? So I want to get real practical, though, because each of us, really, that's the question. Lord, what would you have me do? And again, we don't get to even choose our calling. Did you know my ear didn't get to choose to be an ear? My elbow didn't choose to be an elbow. It is what it is. When I was birthed, it's part of my body. I am what I am in the body, and I didn't get a choice. Well, you are what you are in the body, and you didn't get a choice. So it's not a matter of you choosing what you want to do for him. It's a matter of finding out what he wants you to do as part of his body. Amen? So we've taught on this several times over the years, but now I want to try and get. I like Jane, see the ball. Okay, let's get it down low today. Let's get this waiting on God thing down a little more simple. What he said to me all those years ago, now here I go looking through all this stuff. There is a document at my website called Waiting Upon God. It's in the face-to-face section. I'm just going to read a little bit, and then we're going to get into examples from this conference. He says, the art of waiting on God has been lost to this generation. To wait upon God is to spend time in my presence, and that's the Holy Spirit, as I bring you his mind, and that's the mind of Christ. Your responsibility is to submit your will to his mind as I unfold the will of the Father unto you. As you yield your life unto that life of Christ, and his mind is revealed in you, you then step onto the path of dominion. That is the path of anointing. That is the path of great blessing, says the Spirit of God. Now, he gives a real good definition here. He says, to wait upon the Lord. How many of you want to know what that is exactly? To wait upon the Lord is to sit in my presence and hear the mind of the Lord until you have received his counsel in completeness. At that point, you yield your will unto his mind. Staying with the example of Saul, one of the first things he heard was, Lord, what would you have me do? The first instruction was, go into Damascus, if I remember right, and a man's going to tell you there what to do. Okay? Well, what if he went to Jerusalem instead? That's not the art of waiting upon God, is it? In other words, once you hear, then you act on that. Okay, it's real simple. Yes, sir. I'll go ahead and give the example of the instruction I got. Most of you know I've lost quite a bit of weight. Well, the reason for that, on the way back from ministering at Bronx Church in May, we arrived back in Tulsa on June the 2nd. On that journey back, we prayed a lot on it. One of the reasons I love to drive is that I love still to drive and pray, and Sue does too. So we'll just drive and pray. Sometimes we don't even say a word hardly for an hour or two. We're just driving and praying softly, you know. Don't have music on or anything, just enjoying being together, enjoying the countryside, you know, watching it, and praying and enjoying the presence of God, you know. Well, you can get one sentence from him that will fill you with work. Can I say it that way? That'll fill you. Your assignment might take a week, a month, 6 months, or 2 years. For example, on the way back from that trip, here's a sentence. I mean, he didn't say, this is it. Be under 200 pounds by conference. What part of that is hard to understand? Do I know what to do? Now, I'm going to add one more thing here. Now, if you're taking notes, I don't have this anywhere. Maybe this is just Gary. Maybe this is how Gary is, but it seems to help me. It might help you. When possible, quantify his instructions. When possible. What I mean by that is this. Make it measurable somehow, so you know if you're making change toward it or not. Is that good? See, when he told me that, be under 200 pounds. Now, by the way, he didn't tell me why. But I want to talk about quantify. And I don't care. We're family. I don't care. Okay, I'm just going to tell you. I'm only 5'7". Okay, I used to be 5'8". Gravity is winning. When Dave prays for me, I think I get a quarter inch taller each time. But I'm about 5'7", 5'7 and a quarter. And at the time he told me that, I weighed 235 pounds. When I got home, I weighed 235 pounds. Well, that's just way too heavy for a guy that's 5'7". Okay. Well, be under 200. What does that mean? Minimum 199. So, or 199.9. Anyway. Well, I quantified it. I got home. I got to lose 36 pounds. This is not rocket science. Duh. We weigh 235. He wants me to weigh 199. That's under 199. And I know when. October 6th. So now I have I know what? 36 pounds. I know when? October 6th. All right, so my daughter, Angie, she had told me about this app. You know, you got an app for that? Well, this app. And now, yes, sir. Now, this is where, when Mark is teaching and he talks about how the Lord, he allows us to make a lot of decisions on our own. This, I think this is what Mark's talking about. If the Lord would have told me, see, there's a lot of ways you can attack this, right? I mean, this is a problem, lose 36 pounds. There's a lot of ways to do it. You could join Jenny Craig. You can join one of the other ones. He could, you know, you can go walking every day. You can climb Turkey Mountain 3 times a day. I don't know what it is. What I'm saying is there's lots of ways. And if he had told me a certain way to do it, that's what I would have done. But he didn't. In this case, he didn't. So sometimes within his statement, you know, his assignment, he allows you a lot of wiggle room. And what I mean is it's up to you. But it's not up to me to do nothing. You understand what I'm saying? It's not up to me anymore. Lord, what would you have me do? Lose 36 pounds. No, really, Lord, what would you have me do? I rebuke that devil right now. That cannot be you, God. Durst thou not knowest that Gary lovest hamburgers and other things? So I knew what to do. I knew when to do it. Well, my daughter had told me about this app called MyFitnessPal. This is one of many ways. I'm not promoting an app, okay? But what I am promoting is there's no such... I've taught for years there is no such thing as change without change. Now, he's... And he tells you something, bless the Lord God Almighty, he means it. And it's not okay to ignore that. And it's not okay to do nothing. Now, he will still love you. I loved my children when they were in rebellion. Most of you have heard that testimony. Pray for anybody that has 3 teenage children at the same time. They all 3 went in rebellion at the same time. But I loved them in their rebellion, but it doesn't mean it made it easy for me to bless them and help them and do things for them. We weren't in great fellowship during that time. Thank God he restored all that, and that's a whole other lesson. Well, we've got to get this waiting upon God thing real, because he gave us some instructions during the conference. I'm getting to that in a minute. So in my case, all right, this MyFitnessPal thing. So what you do, it's real simple. You put in your age. 66. How much do you weigh? 235. How much do you want to weigh? 199. When do you want to weigh it? By this date. Then it calculates for you, and it tells you how many calories you can eat. Oh, my God. Is this safe? Well, in order to eat that few calories, you can't be eating hamburgers. Durst thou not knowest, O Lord God, that thy servant lovest hamburgers? Well, not for the next 4 months, you don't. July, August, September. Really wasn't even 4 months. No, it was June, July. That's right, because June 2nd. June, July, August, September. I had 4 months. And so I had one hamburger in 4 months. I basically went on what's called a Daniel's fast. Now, don't get all religious on me. But basically a Daniel's fast, he did not eat the dainty meats of the king. He did not eat the fancy foods that a rich king would eat. He ate mostly vegetables. Notice how my tone changes when I say vegetables. So to me, my definition of the Daniel's fast is, if it tastes good, spit it out. Oh, my God, salads and carrots and green beans and fish. Oh, I like fish battered and deep fried. Lord. Can't have none of that. You know, baked, grilled. Basically, take all the taste out of it, and then you can have it. You know. And I kept a chart. A graph that I can see. My Lord, the one who bought me, told me to do something. And now he always has a reason. And notice he didn't, we won't have time to get very far into this waiting upon God document that's available to you. But he, somewhere in here, he says he'll tell you the what, the when, the where. Sometimes how, not always, sometimes. But what he specifically mentions, he does not always tell you why. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. Now I'm getting around to why, okay? I didn't know. I just started losing the weight. I thought, oh, you got all kinds of whys. First off, he's probably trying to keep me alive. That's a pretty good why. But that's for anybody. I didn't know if he had a specific why. About 3 months into it, and I lost quite a bit at that point, I get a call from a man of God that I really trust. He says, Gary, do you know why the Lord's having you lose all that weight? And I said, no, do you? He says, it has to do with media. It has to do with more video. Maybe television, I don't know, but it's going to be more pictures, video of you, and you're going to be teaching more that way in the future than you have in the past. I said, my goodness, I hadn't even really thought of that. And again, I'm reminded again, I will go ahead and tell this, some of you might not have been here. Many years ago, I'm talking 25 years ago probably, when I was smoking like a freight train, loving God, but smoking like a freight train, didn't know how to get rid of it. And I'm not trying to be cruel, I'm just telling something that really happened. This guy that weighed somewhere around 425, 450 pounds, and he wasn't any taller than me. This guy, wide as he was tall, yeah. He gave me a little pamphlet on how to quit smoking. This guy, his car, literally, you drive behind him, he's so heavy, his car had broke down the springs on the driver's side. The car leaned to the left, even when he wasn't in it. I'm serious. And he's handed me, and at the time, I was a slender dude, you know, smoking like a freight train. And he's handed me, and he had good intentions. But I'd just be honest with you. Now, what verse would the devil bring to your mind? How are you going to cast the mote out of your brother's eye when you got a beam in your own eye? And I didn't say it, but I'm thinking, buddy, you got a beam like a fence post sticking out of your eye, and you're going to tell me how to control my flesh? I don't think I'm going to take your counsel. I probably would have been better off. But see, I've always remembered that, and I'm thinking, dear God, if he wants me teaching where they have to see me, I don't want to give the devil that same opportunity in their lives to reject the counsel of God like I rejected it all those years earlier. See, I'd have been better off to receive that counsel if it would have got me free. Isn't that right? So that's part of it. That's part of what's going on. It's got to do. Oh, and as a verification of that, right before conference, I get a phone call from a guy who's coming to the conference. He works at a TV station. It's the one in Washington where I teach up there. He's the one, I'm coming and I'm bringing my equipment. Could you do some videos on the Friday before conference? I said, yes, sir. So we did. We did 4 programs. We just cleaned out a spot at my house, just got a place there at my house and sat there with my cup of coffee and taught. Did 4 TV videos. So it's starting, see? God always has a reason. Quantify when possible. Make a plan. If he doesn't tell you how, you decide how. Pray about that, though. Okay? Pray about that. Because, your mind can come up with all kinds of things. If you get on a dangerous path, if you're still praying, he'll correct you. When I say a dangerous path, what I mean is, well, what if I decided, okay, I'm going to do that 40-day fast that I've been trying to do all these years? He didn't tell me to do that. I've never done one. I have no experience. He didn't tell me to go on a fast. He told me to lose 36 pounds. Okay? So the way I chose it seemed healthy to me. But if I'd have, let's just say it this way, 40-day fast might would have been fine. But if he saw that it wouldn't be for me, and if I'm a man of prayer and I stay in prayer, I think I would have got a warning from him. You with me? You got to do things correctly. Okay. Now, I don't know what else coming as I fully obey this instruction. Oh, by the way, in case you didn't know it, I did make it. I got 2 days before the conference started, I was 199. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I backslid about 3 pounds during the conference. But I got one of them off already, and I'm going to have the rest of them. Hey, you try eating out twice a day all week long. I did pretty good. 3 pounds, that's pretty good, okay? And we're going to get back to it here. To wait upon the Lord is to sit in my presence and hear the mind of the Lord until you have received his counsel in completeness. And what he means by that, the what, when, where, sometimes how, and if you keep praying, but sometimes it's up to you how. He didn't just do it. Okay. Oh, I didn't. So in my case, I did the My Fitness thing. And what that is you log every mouthful. Every bite you eat, you log it. It goes in there. And it's a real helpful app because it's got a whole lot of stuff in there. You know, even brand names, you know, like Chili's hamburgers and stuff like that, which I didn't get to have one of those. But I'm just saying, it makes it easy. And it has a graph that it does for you. Every day you record your weight. Plus, in my case, raise your hand, Kyle, my son-in-law. Now, here's a 32-year-old metabolism. And we and I got into a stand-up. So show him. He's lost more than me. Look at that, how slender that young man is over there. So we did an accountability thing. You know, every day he's got to tell me how much he weighs, and I got to tell him how much I weigh. And you're not allowed to lie either. And I was tempted a couple of times. Really tempted a couple of times, you know. But see, God didn't say that. But within the instruction, that's okay. Whatever is needed. See, that helped a lot. There was a lot of times I walk by and there's something on the dining table, you know. Leftover treat of some kind. Walk by and the hand, without even thinking, begins reaching for the treat. And then you think, I got to call Kyle in the morning. No. In the course of it is when I learned, for me, I learned some things finally about fasting. Now, I've done some over the years, but never anything like 4 months and never anything like this, you know, where it just goes on forever. And the Lord actually gave me revelation knowledge that I didn't have before. Remember that little teaching about Adam? How he was new wine in a new bottle, but when he fell, he was old wine in an old bottle. So in both cases, the spirit and the flesh agreed. That's why God had to reach man with his mind in the old covenant with the law. With my mind, I agree that thy law is good, but he didn't have a spirit that agreed with that. He didn't have a body that agreed with that. He was an old wine in an old bottle. But in our dispensation, we have the new wine of the Spirit, the new wine of the new birth, but God had to leave us in an old bottle. In Luke's account, Luke 6, it plainly says you don't put that new patch on an old garment because the new agreeth not with the old. And that is Galatians chapter 5. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary one to another. And thank God, I got a text from a minister friend of mine that lives in another city, and he listens to the messages at the website. He says, we must be near the end of days. I said, really? Why do you say that? I heard Gary Carpenter teaching about fasting. We've got to be near the end. Yes, sir. Okay, the other example I think that's real clear, and at 9 o'clock, I'm able to get into these, he said. Remember, but those of you that are familiar with our ministry, Sue and I, what I'm talking about. In the beginning, it was all cassette tapes. We did not have a website, and the instructions originally was duplicate these messages, send them out for free, pay all the postage, do not put in a return envelope. We operated that way for years. And it worked, and people got blessed, and we sent cassette tapes to the Philippines and Europe and Asia and Africa and South America, all over the world. That went on for years. And then one day, this very process, waiting upon God, spending time in his presence. What does that mean? The whole message, spending time in prayer, spending time in the Word, spending time a little bit in fasting. I've always done a little bit. Spending time in worship, you know. Then once in a while, you get something besides teaching from him. It is primarily a revelation gift, but he does come as Lord once in a while. And y'all remember that instruction? Most of you have heard me teach on this. I heard him as clear. He says, do I have time? Okay, I'll do it that way. We'll do the long version. He said to me one day, he says, when you run out of soda pop at home, how do you get soda pop? Now, first off, y'all need to know, Sue and I don't drink soda pop. I never even drank it as a teenager. I just always thought it was sickening sweet, okay? I don't put sugar in my coffee either, by the way. I mean, it's okay if you do. I'm just saying. But we keep soda pop for people that come. So he was just using it for me, and I'm usually I go get it. I said, well, when we run out of soda pop, Lord, first off, Sue says, we're out of soda pop. Okay. So then I go and get in the car. I drive to the store. I get out of the car, get a cart. I load it up with the soda pop. I go pay for it at the register. I then take it out to the car. I load it in the car. I bring it home. Park in the driveway, get the soda pop, carry it in the garage, put it where we keep the soda pop, and we have soda pop. He said, that's the way your cassette ministry is now. When people want to hear, when they're thirsty for truth, they have to write you a letter, which takes time. Let's take somebody in the Philippines. They have to write you a letter. Then it has to come from the Philippines here. Then it'll come to your secretary. Then they'll open it. They'll enter it into the computer. Then it has to go into your processing. The tapes have to be made. It has to be bundled. It has to be shipped. Then it has to go back to them. And then the mailman or UPS or however they get it. And then finally they get it. And depending on where they live, that could be anywhere from a week to 2 months from the time that they were thirsty. And he told me that day. He says, now, what do you do when you want a drink of water? And he knows me. I'm not the bottled water guy. I said, well, Lord, I just get a glass and I go to the tap and I get a drink of water. He said, that's the way I want your teachings available to the world. That when they're thirsty, they can go and drink from what I've given you. Well, I knew that had to be internet or something. I mean, there's no other way to have it available like water. And that was, now that little encounter with the Lord, that session of waiting upon God, where I got that wisdom or that instruction from him, my God, it took 2 years before we really had that functioning very well. And then it took probably another 2 years before it was really out there available like that. And he gave me some hows along the way, but he didn't give me supernaturally all the hows. I had to go to school. I did not even know. I had heard of an MP3. I did not know really what one was. Then they told me, and we didn't really have it. Nowadays it's so simple, like everybody goes, MP3s, God, I know that. Well, we didn't then. And we didn't have anybody in our circle that we fellowshiped with that knew much about it. So I'm getting all of these books, MP3s for dummies. I'm learning how to do this. And then there was all of the, Kyle, you remember the early days? Well, how much do we compress the wave file? Okay, this is too much. If you compress it this much, we're trying to save space on the server, but at the same time, you don't want to lose quality. Well, we found out you can take a message where my voice sounds normal like this, and if you compress it too much, that sounds like this all of a sudden, and you can't hardly hear anything. Okay, that's too much. Jesus is Lord. That's too much. Was trial and error. See, now here's what Mark's talking about. See, he did not give me this. Thou shalt make thy MP3s 35 kilohertz per second or something. He could, but he didn't. He left it up to me to learn that part. See what I'm talking about? All of these things we had, he brought supernaturally to me, a webmaster that's been our webmaster all this time. This lady knows a lot of stuff, but she didn't know a whole lot about it. So we finally learned the MP3s. I was so proud we made MP3s and nobody could use them because I didn't know anything about tagging. Matthew was one of the first ones sitting back there on the back row. He was one of the first ones that ever helped me with tagging because he downloaded one of our MP3s and it was almost useless. He's like, he says, Gary, if you don't put the author, the name, at least an author, the name, and the album on there, there's no way for an iPod to sort the thing. And I go, how do you tag a digital thing? What? I'm thinking of a, what? Get real spiritual. What? And so he helped me. We got started understanding what a tag. Well, we already had like 100 of them at the website. Now we got to go back and tag all the tagging for dummies, What I'm saying is, waiting upon God, Lord, or let's say it another way, Lord, what would you have me do? Hearing what he says very often can be just a very short a sentence, two or three sentences put together, and that may be your life for the next 4 months, the next 2 years, the next 5 years. That's waiting on God and just doing what He says. And then along the way, He'll help you. And if you absolutely get stumped, pray. He'll send somebody supernaturally. He'll send a Kyle into your life, somebody to help, okay? Don't ignore those. Like Dave says, I don't care if a kid on a tricycle is the one He sends. If it's God, you listen. Amen? All right. So much more I'd like to say right there, but He told me about 9. We've got to get started now. What I have here are the prophecies that came forward during the conference. When there's a gathering like this, and especially at a conference like this one, where the teaching did not drop way back. In fact, if anything, I thought the teaching was on par right where we live here at the prayer center, which tells me, my God, we're going into something meaty. We're going into something strong here. So my copy, I'm not near done. I'm holding this up so you can see the green. First I go through it. I'm looking for instructions first off. Then I write myself notes. Here's a statement. Give me that opportunity to be in your life, your Father. Allow me. And I put out here how. Exactly what does He mean by that? I know part of it. I want to know if there's any more. Okay? By the time I get done with this, there'll be not only these green sections in here, there'll be questions, notes to myself, things I'm going to pray about till I hear Him, because I'm just one part of the body. He spoke this to everybody, not only at the conference, but everybody who's really a part of the person, a part of the vision. How do I say it exactly? A part of the vision. Well, I may be an elbow. I may get... How an elbow responds to those instructions might be a little bit different than how an eyeball, or a mouth might respond. So I've got to find out my part for my calling, see? So to just hear this once and just go off, to me, is not good enough. He didn't say that for me to stay the same. Was that good? That was a good statement. He didn't say this for any of us to stay the same. And I know these will be available. If you haven't already signed up for the prophecies that come from the prayer center by email or by regular mail, you need to do that. The phone number at the prayer center is really hard to remember. It's 298-PRAY. Area code 918-298-7729. Or if you forget that, it's 298-PRAY. Okay? And if you don't, have access to the internet, you could call and I'm sure get on a mailing list to receive these. I know every now and then they send out a prayer. The best way is to do it by email, because you get them, you get periodic updates, and then every now and then they'll give you like another volume, like for the first 6 months and then the first then 9 months. Okay, let's get into just a few of the things that he said. So much here. Yes, sir. Boy, he is on this one today now. He's not letting me start there. September 29th, shortly before conference, some really powerful words came through Pastor Dave. And he was talking about love. And I am absolutely convinced we're not going to walk in that real revival without walking in God's love. Amen? So on September 29th, the first word that came forward was, as this love continues to increase, you will understand things that you have not been able to understand in the past. See, I so know that is true because of the teaching He's given me about Stephen, which I'm not going to try and talk much about today. I always admired Stephen in the book of Acts because he was a man full of faith, full of power, and full of the Holy Ghost, and he did signs and wonders. But see, it's only as we've been going deeper into the love of God that the Lord was able to show me why he was a man full of faith, full of power, and full of the Holy Ghost. And it's that prayer that he did when they're stoning him to death, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And he did it from the heart. He wasn't forgiving by obedience. He was forgiving because that love had so filled him. Then I'm understanding that opens up other verses neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but faith which worketh by love, see? And other verses beyond there. So I'm wondering how much more. And I'm thinking there's a lot more as we really begin to understand. You can't understand it without a revelation of God's love and more of a, more. See, I know right now I have more revelation of his love than I have his love working in me. And the reason I have a revelation of the love that was in Stephen to pray for those men as they killed him, but I know I don't have that love in me at this moment. But how are you going to climb the mountain if you can't see the mountain? At least, how are you going to possess the promised land if you can't see the promised land? At least I'm beginning to see the love of God, and I'm going, God, I got to go there. You got to get me from here to there. Well, one of the things he says in here is, let me father you. How, Lord, do we do that? Okay. More, it's got to be something that I haven't already done. How many of you know if we're going to have something we haven't already had, we're going to do something we haven't already done? See? Okay. Enough on that one. So he says, be strong and hold me up and know that love never fails. That's all in Dave's. On that same day, another one came that said, boy, this one just knocked my hat in the creek. The reason it is so hard to bring you to this place, and he's talking about that place of his love, is that so few have been there to paint any kind of picture that you can see in your understanding. In our generation, I don't know anywhere that you can take Tommy Perez or any of these impossible cases that we have their pictures down here. I don't know anywhere you can go that on a regular basis they're going to walk healed and free. We don't have any in our generation to look at to train us. We're blazing a trail, if you'll allow me. We're pioneering a trail into the love of God. I think we're going to be able to help others get there quicker. Amen? So he said it's hard because there's been so few to paint any kind of picture that you can see in your understanding. Now this statement, it paints a picture in me. He says, therefore trust me when I say. So we got to trust him. That contained beyond anything that you have yet believed, I am waiting for you with all that I have promised. That's revival. So the picture I have, see, a lot of teachers and prophets, and they'll say, well, God's sovereign. He appoints this. And, you know, the revival will come at the appointed time. And that is not what he's saying. The time is now. Dave, I need you for just a moment, sir. It won't take but a minute. I promise I won't make you the devil. Now, you young ministers, when you're ministering in another man's church, always make the pastor God. You hear me? All right, stay right there. God. Dave's really, he's representing that prophecy. We need revival. Ruthie, your revival. Right here. Here's Ruthie. Revival. I'm trying not to get so far away. And here I am at the prayer center. And what he's saying to me, I've been aspiring towards revival all these years. I've been praying. I've been doing a little bit of fasting. Meditating the word. I'm learning more about worship, all of those things. And I hear a prophet on TV say, no, revival comes when God decides. God is sovereign. He'll tell you when revival will come. And God's telling us through that word. He says, Gary, beyond anything that you have yet believed, this is where I am. I didn't start there. I started back here somewhere. It hurt on the camera, man. Started back. I'm not as far back as I was, bless God. I believe to hear, but it's still not the revival that I know he wants. But he says on the other side, he says, I am waiting for you. We are not waiting for God to sovereignly pour this out of the atmosphere somehow. He says, I am waiting for you on the other side. Come on. That's what the Father's saying. Thank you. I'll give them a hand. Is that not a great picture? That encourages me so much. If it's all sovereign and the date for revival has already been set, then that takes me out of the equation. But if he's waiting on us to get there, that puts me in the equation. What I want to hear is, Lord, what would you have me do? I don't care if I'm the third toe on the left foot of the body of Christ. I want to be the best third toe on the body of Christ that I can be. I want to do my part. Amen. What would you have me do, Lord? Okay. A few of these things that he said during the conference. I'm not going to mention who they came through. It doesn't matter who they came through. I believe these are all the Holy Ghost. There is a time coming soon for this body that I will have you step forward into your places of calling. Now listen to this, people. I've been here 21, 22 years. I have not heard him talk like this before. Because the time of preparation is coming to an end. Just a minute, I have to worship God. The time of preparation. Okay, now I'm going to say this. You're not here for a milkshake, are you? It's coming to an end whether you finish preparing or not. We're about to hit that revival place. Get in there with us. We've come too far. I'm not turning tail now. But if that time of preparation is coming to an end, I want to be in that thing. Because we're going to be in it whether you're prepared or not. You want to be prepared, so get in it with us. It's not too late. Get in it. Because the time of preparation is coming to an end. And the time of sending forth and pushing back darkness is coming soon to your place. That's not just here in Tulsa. He said that to the body. You are not alone where you live. You are not your own body. There's a week-long seminar in that sentence. You are not your own body. You are part of his body. Did you know my right elbow has a helper in my left hand? My right elbow gets hurt, my left hand immediately comes to its aid. Did you know that? Have you ever tried to pick something up with your elbow? Doesn't work too good, you know. But my elbow is a perfectly good elbow. It works really good for what it's supposed to be doing. But if it needs help, I got it. It's part of a body. I don't expect the elbow to pick up stuff. I don't expect the elbow to be able to do everything that my body... You ever try to see with your elbow? Close your eyes. Walk around. Try and see with your elbow. You ever try and preach with your elbow? Tell them about Jesus. Go ahead. I could draw a little face on it, you know. You are not your own body. And what he's saying is you are not alone. I was looking recently. Did you know that even though this has been our body of fellowship for 21, 22 years, and I don't know how long now, the ministry that the Lord has given Sue and I, the financial, and they have blessed us in so many, if it hadn't been for all the help we got here in the early days, they duplicated our cassettes. They paid for the postage the first couple of years or so, or maybe longer than that. And finally, the Lord kept praying and says, I had to grow up and start believing him for the equipment and the money to do that ourselves. But now, here's the point I'm trying to make. The finances for our ministry, the way it flows right now, that doesn't come from this church for the most part. Some individuals help, but the main money comes from people that live in other states and people that live in other countries. And some of those countries I've never been to except by my voice. I'm just noticing this. I don't know. I don't really do much. We have secretaries that do the finances and the deposits, and I don't really see them on a day-to-day basis. But every now and then, something unusual will happen, and they'll let me know about it. We got a lady in Kuwait who is given some money every month, and it's substantial. It's several hundred dollars. I've never been to Kuwait. As far as I know, I've never met this lady. But somehow, the Lord is reaching her through what we're doing. And you know how we operate. We don't ask for money. Something had to rise up in her heart. And this is what he told me all those years ago. He says, you obey me. You do what I tell you. Do it the way I tell you. And I will speak to the hearts of the people I choose. And they will support you in the ministry. Got a couple of businessmen, several businessmen that help us. But what I'm saying is we're part of a body. He's not after me to go and finance this thing. I'm not called to do that. At least not at this point. I'm supposed to be doing what he told me to do. There's other parts of the body. And what he's saying here, where you live or in your sphere, quit saying it's impossible. You're not your own body. You may have a left hand closer to your elbow than you realize. There's somebody, maybe they don't live in your town, but by the internet or some way you're connected and you don't even know it. Okay, I can't go too far. But isn't that deep call of that? You know, you just read that sentence, it doesn't sound like nothing. You are not your own body. And I'm going, duh, you know. But that is full of revelation knowledge. He says, he's trying to get it across to us. He says, the next sentence, you are not responsible to birth everything from where you are. There's other parts of the body. There's other parts of the body birthing things, birthing a business that's going to support whatever it is you're doing. Or maybe you're the one that's supposed to birth the business, but you're not supposed to be running off in a teacher's calling, if that's not what he's called you to do. You're supposed to support. How shall they hear without a preacher? But how shall they preach lest they be sent? There's preachers and there's senders. You got to start having some faith that God is smarter than you think. That he has resources beyond you. He says, you will find that when the time comes that I release you into the place that I have set for you, that things you don't think you have, you will have. Things you don't think you are prepared for, you are prepared for. Gifts, anointings, finances will all be there because you are part of a body. Is that good stuff or what? Now, see, that talks to me. That's general. That's to all of us. But I'm going, Lord, what are you saying to me? Am I doing this? Am I restricting you? Am I guilty again of saying I can't afford it? What are you saying to me, Lord? Y'all getting anything out of this? I am, whether you are. I'm going to listen to it myself. That's it. Oh, God, this one. Whoever puts the titles on here is anointed. They put good titles on these prophecies. Whoever does that, mwah, thank you. This one is called, I expect you to put my shoes on. Did you hear that? I expect you to put my shoes on. And I'm only reading just little parts of these because for time's sake. He says, for you that hunger, there is no place where you have to stop in building yourself up in edification and in the faith that I made available to you. I have made everything within your reach for those who truly want to give their lives to me and bring many, many people home with you. No matter what call you're walking in, I have given you a language to pray these things out and to walk out that you may walk in my power and get this. Now listen. And face down any disease. I said these signs would follow them that believe. Now what he's saying there is quit looking just to the fivefold. He's saying I have called you to this. If you're a believer, I have called you. You have the power, believer, to face down any disease. Not only in your body, that's not just what he's talking about. He's talking about wherever you find it. Where there is sickness and the lost, I expect you to put my shoes on and walk into the middle of that, says the Lord. Now see, I don't know how you do things. I read that and I think, if I don't do something different than I've been doing, that's just going to go away. And I mean, it's just going to have no effect on my life. I'm not saying I'm going to do this, but I'm thinking about it. Every night when I go to bed, I'm thinking about making me a little piece of paper and print about the same size as my shoe, two of them, and print Jesus on both of them. Lay them on top of my shoes when I go to bed at night. So when I get up the next morning, this verse will come back to my mind. Jesus, I'm putting on your shoes today. As I go out this door into the world of the lost and the sick, no disease will be able to stand before me, because I'm putting your shoes on and I'm going into this. See, I've got to do something that's going to change how I think. Got that? What would you have me do, Lord? If I could only get one instruction from you, Lord, I would change. I would, Jesus. I would change. Let me read the title of this next one. Pray and get yourself ready. I think I got an instruction from the Lord. Pray and get yourself ready. He starts this one off. He says, what I have said in the past, I will say to you again. That you don't have to bear that pain. You do not have to put up with it. Now, I'm thinking of several people right now that I know that suffer pain on a daily basis. We're not trying to put guilt on anybody. Okay, I'm going to be... Still at this point, I face pain every day myself. Most of you know I am believing for a new disc in my back. True enough, getting 36 pounds of blubber off has helped. Plus, I joined a gym. I don't think I told you that part earlier. I joined a gym. See, it's one thing to join a gym. It's another thing to go there. You know? I actually had to go there. And did you know the Holy Spirit will remind you and say, get your lazy... No, that was me. That was my... Sometimes I hear the Holy Ghost in O.R. Carpenter's voice, but get your bottom off of that couch and go to the gym. You got to call Kyle tomorrow. You know you do. Go to the gym. But at this point, and it helped. It's helped. But I'm still calling my back heel, believing for a new disc. I believe I'll have a new disc. But in the meantime, I'm one of those in pain every day. So this applies to me. I'm not putting guilt on you. But he's telling me as well as you. And I don't care how bad it is. You don't have to put up with it. See, as we're coming into knowing who we are and walking in who we are, pain has no choice. We are the masters. He gave us dominion over pain. I don't care what natural science says. I don't care what the doctors say. Bless God, thank God for all of them. But they don't know everything, and God does. If he says I don't have to put up with it, I don't have to put up with it. That's my mountain. It's up to me to talk to it. He's not going to talk to it for me. He says for me to talk to it. So I got to talk to that pain anyway. See? You see? You get instructions. You become weird and great. Become peculiar and holy. Become strong, righteous, walk like the child of God that you really are. That includes Gary. He says, nobody but me has ever done this. He's still talking about pain. He says, when it gets a little better, you stop. What he means is you'll work on it, you'll confess, you'll speak to it, and it eases up some. Then you stop. But it's not totally dealt with. He said, you need to see this thing through. For I have good news for you. I have already healed you. God. He said, now in this one, this is kind of like the lose 36 pounds thing. He says, he starts talking about the future. So in this one, he's saying, deal with the pain. Talk to it. Get rid of it. You can. I've already healed you. Then he starts telling you why. In the future? You think the future is going to be easier than now? Go to school. Pray. And get yourself ready, says the Lord. Who was it? I think it was Alan talking about, he read a book about a revivalist from the 40s, which was, you know, he's in ministry for a long time, but once those miracles broke out, I mean, your life is over. And it's going to be the same way here. They're going to be swamping you. I mean, we better be pain-free and physically fit for what's about to happen. That's what he's saying here. The future. Deal with it now. Learn how to deal with it. Get rid of it. You're not going to have time for that with what's coming. He says, I have given you the keys. Now, this one really spoke to me as a teacher. He says, I have given you the keys. You need to teach them the keys. I've never heard him say this, Tim, in my life. Up until now, he's always said to me, I am only called to the hungry as a teacher. And I found that to be, you ever try and teach somebody that's not interested? Yeah, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make them drink, you know? I've tried that in the past. I've tried that. And up till now, he's told me, Gary, you're only called to the hungry. And to them, of course, a teacher's ministry really is effective. But I've never heard him say this. So I've got to, see, this is going to change the way I function. This is going to change the way I operate. I'm going to make people mad. And he told me to do it. Yeah. I'll just read it in context without me saying anything. It says, I give you the keys. You need to teach them the keys. Now, here's the part. If they don't want to listen, teach them anyway. He's never said that to me before. If they don't want to listen, teach them anyway. Many times they are listening to you in private, but they have their pride. Interesting here. So go on avenues, preach it and teach it everywhere that you can. Because once they get the leadership of the Spirit in them, then I will guide them. And many things more he said there. It's 9:30. I can't believe this. We've hardly got started good. Now, and I'm not calling for the second service at all, okay? But what I'm saying is this. Lord, what would you have me do? If I was you, I would get a copy of these from the conference. I would start here. And let these speak to you. Don't read them just once. Get you a highlighter. Have a pen, something to write. Go carefully through them. Pray in the Spirit. Go through them again. Say, Lord, what's my part? What's my part in this? Do you have instructions for me? I mean, you can see how that one's going to change my life. I'm no longer called just to the hungry. I'm called to that guy who doesn't want to listen. I see myself walking down the street behind him. You can pray in tongues. Smack. No, you can pray in tongues. It's for today. Smack. I'm telling you it's for today. I don't know if it's going to really be that way, but it's something along that line. See? My goodness. Father, thank you. Thank you that we are not orphans, that you have given us your Spirit. You really are our Father. And Father, help us restore that lost art of waiting upon you so that we can truly be your servants, that your will be done. Lord, what would you have us do? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll see you in 30 minutes.